Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Say, fellas and girls, for a delicious breakfast treat tomorrow morning, pour yourselves a heaping bowl full of taste-tempting Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice, the ones shot from guns. And listen, big news is coming on this program in just a little while. Get paper and pencil ready. Keep listening. The sky was overcast. The night was dark and gloomy when an old prospector entered the trading post in Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory.
Well, hi, Hank. Just get into town?
Yep. Got a late start, Pat, but I'm running out of supplies, so I had to ride in to get some more. Here's the list.
Right. You have a dark ride ahead of you if you're going back tonight.
Oh, not me. I'm staying in town tomorrow morning.
What's the matter? You scared of the dark?
Yeah, you've gone home at night before.
Well, maybe so. But I'm not going along that cliff trail this night.
What's the matter, Hank? Something scare you on the way to town?
Well, as a matter of fact, Pat, something did make me sort of nervous.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, you all know about that deserted cabin that sits against the cliff about 2 miles on.
Sure.
Say, that's the place folks call the ghost cabin, isn't it?
Yep. I never put much stock in the stories I've heard, but on the way here, when I was passing that cabin a while ago, I saw a flickering light, and a face appeared at one of the windows, and then the light went out. Oh, I'm telling you, it gave me such a start, I galloped all the way to town.
You must have been drinking some hard cider, Hank.
Yeah, you were seeing things.
Nobody's been in that cabin for a couple of years.
All right, go on, laugh all you want to. But I know what I saw, and I'm not going to ride back past that ghost cabin tonight. I'll pick up those supplies in the morning, Pat. And now I'm going to get room for the night. So long.
The cliff trail ran south from town along the base of a ridge, which was spotted at intervals with low cliffs. About a mile from town, near a pine grove, Jack Saybrook, a young prospector, lived with his wife Betsy and his 10-year-old son Johnny. It was the following day when Jack came to the cabin for noonday dinner.
Hi, Betsy. Dinner ready?
Be ready in a minute, dear.
I see you're setting only two places. Where's Johnny?
He's out in the pine grove playing camper.
Oh.
He has an old blanket set up as a tent.
What about his dinner?
Well, he wanted to roast potatoes in a campfire, but I decided that would be dangerous, so he took his dinner out there to eat it.
What'll the youngster think of next?
Poor Johnny. He's rather lonesome without playmates, Jack.
Yeah.
As long as he finds something to occupy his time, I'm satisfied.
Hello, Dad. Mom, I want some more food.
All right, son.
Look, Johnny, I think you'd better sit down here with us and eat the rest of your dinner.
Aw, gee, Dad. I want to play camper. I'd rather go out to my tent and eat.
Well, have it your own way.
Gosh, I wish I had a real tent and some kind of a camp stove.
Things like that cost plenty of money, son. Anyhow, the only tents I've seen around town for sale have been large ones. And the camp stoves they sell are too complicated for a boy to handle.
You sit down, Johnny. There's more dinner for you.
I suppose I might as well.
Early that afternoon, Sergeant Preston arrived in Whitehorse with his great dog, Yukon King. The sergeant was talking to the constable at Mounted Police Headquarters.
I'm here, Constable, because of the report you sent headquarters. You found any clue to the crooks who've been operating around here since you sent that report?
No, I haven't, Sergeant. There seems to be a small gang at work. Several robberies have taken place, but the crooks managed to get away and stay undercover.
I see. None of the victims have recognized any of the crooks.
No. And each of them gives a different description of the men in the gang. It seems they're always well-matched when they operate.
That's usually the case. I mean in reference to the descriptions. The victims are nervous and upset when a holdup takes place. Consequently, they don't seem to be very observant.
The only people who seem to agree are the few who've reported seeing the ghost of old Stebbins out at Ghost Cabin on the Cliff Trail.
I've heard some of those stories. Someone else come in with such a report?
Yes, old Hank, the prospector. He said last night he came by there and saw a face at the window.
Well, what do you think about it?
Well, his story tallies with all the others. First he saw a flickering light, then a face at the window for a moment.
You think he imagined that?
I don't know, Sergeant. I went out there this morning to investigate. I've been out there before, too. But the place is just like old Stebbins left it. Run down, dust all over everything, old worn carpet on the floor. I found nothing to show anyone has used it since Stebbins died.
I suppose old Hank did imagine it, after all. But it's strange that everyone's story is the same.
Well, it may be that having heard the first story about the ghost cabin, the others expected to see the same thing. If they saw anything at all.
That's possible.
Now, believe me, Sergeant, I investigated thoroughly. I feel certain no one is using that cabin.
Well, in that case, we'll forget about it. Now, give me the details of the robberies that have taken place recently, Constable.
That evening, at the cafe in town, two men sat at a table talking in low voices.
Well, we really ought to get our biggest haul tonight, Cal, when we bust into the mining office and grab that payroll.
Yeah, and luck is with us, too, Sid. Looks like it's going to rain before the night's over.
I count on that, so as our tracks will be washed out. Jake and Frank are sitting back there waiting till we go out. Then they'll follow. The horses are already hitched behind the mining office.
We sure have the law worried, Sid. You plan things well.
Thanks. With the hideout we have, we're plenty safe. When you get a chance, just amble back and get word to the others that we'll be moving about midnight,
All right. I'll go tell them now.
At midnight, four figures met behind the mining office. A few drops of rain fell as they stood waiting for orders.
Now, this'll be easy. We'll force the back window. Jake will stay out here as lookout. Kel, you're the smallest. So we boost you through the window, you unbolt the back door. Frank and I'll come in. Now, do you get it?
Yeah, we get it.
Now, I've been inside enough to look over the safe. I got what we need to blow it with. Now, we'll clean it out. Get to the horses and separate, just in case. We'll meet in the pine grove about a mile down the trail. Then we'll head for the hideout together.
It's already starting to rain, so our tracks will be washed out quick.
Sure.
All right. Let's mask our faces to be on the safe side. Then we'll get started.
A short time later, the men at the cafe, just two doors in the mining office, were startled by a muffled explosion.
Hey, did you hear that? Sounded like an explosion. Let's look outside and see what it was. Come on.
A few moments later, the crowd reached the back of the mining office. The back door stood open, and a thin veil of smoke slowly floated out the doorway.
Great saints. Look at that now. They must have robbed the mining office. Let's look inside. Yep, the safe has been blown open. I'm going to go tell the constable.
A short time later, the two Mounties arrived at the scene of the crime. A crowd was still gathered at the back door of the mining office, and others had ridden by. It'd
be useless to try to find their trail now. They wouldn't know which tracks to follow, even if it weren't raining.
Well, maybe they didn't even leave town, Sergeant.
That's possible. We'll do all the investigating we can around town. We may find someone who saw the crooks. First, though, we'll arouse the office manager and find out how much was taken. Come on, King.
That night, the boy, Johnny Saybrook, had waited until his parents were sleeping. And then he had eased out of the cabin and went to sleep in his makeshift tent in the pine grove down the trail. At first, the light rain didn't disturb him. But finally, as it rained harder, the water soaked through the blanket and woke him.
Golly, I'm getting all wet. I'll have to go in the cabin quick.
As Johnny started to crawl from the soaked tent, he heard horses stopping nearby in the grove. Though he couldn't see anything in the darkness, he heard voices.
Waiting long?
No. Jake and I just got here.
We're safe because of this rain.
Nobody will be able to trail us.
Yeah, right, sir.
Reckon the ghost will keep folks away from the hideout, so we'll be safe there, too.
Well, let's get going. I'm getting soaked. I don't feel much like a ghost right now.
Well, with a cliff or a roof, we'll all soon be dry and comfortable. Come on, let's go.
Get up, man.
Golly, a ghost was with him. Maybe they're all ghosts of outlaws or something. I better get inside quick.
The following morning, Sergeant Preston entered the constable's office with King.
Well, good morning, Sergeant. You left the cabin mighty early. I didn't hear you go out.
I wanted to do some more inquiring about the robbery last night. Hate to think of those crooks getting away with $5,000.
You find out any more?
Well, I did find a man at the hotel who looked out the window when he heard the explosion. He claims he saw two masked riders come from between the buildings and head out the cliff trail.
Well, that's something.
Yes. Of course, we got our horses and ride out that way, but frankly, Constable, I'm stumped. The sun's out, but the rain last night was certainly in their favor.
Yes, it sure was.
There's nothing for King to go on. The tracks are washed out. But in spite of that, King and I will continue this search.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, Sergeant Preston, isn't outdoor life one of the greatest things about being a Mountie?
Why, yes, Jay. There's nothing like the thrill of pitching a tent under the open sky. And nothing tastes as good as food that's been cooked out in the open air. That's an experience every boy and girl should have.
Yes, fellas and girls. And here's the most exciting news of the year.
Right now, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are offering friends of Sergeant Preston a marvelous new waterproof prospector's tent and a genuine all-metal camp stove.
The prospector's tent is made of sturdy, bright green plastic.
It stands 4.5 feet high, is 3 feet square at the base, and has a flap to close it up snug and tight.
It comes complete with tent pole stakes, everything you need to set it up easily in just a few minutes, outdoors or in the house.
And listen, this keen waterproof prospector's tent is yours for only $1 and a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
Now, in addition, you can also get a genuine all-metal camp stove that works.
It's not a toy. You can really cook with it.
On the top section, you can fry hamburgers, hot dogs, bacon, and eggs.
In the Dutch oven, you can bake potatoes, biscuits.
Over the broiler, you can cook cocoa, soup, beans.
There's a firebox to fill with twigs, charcoal, or canned heat for fuel.
And you can get this complete four-piece camp stove, including handy combination stove tongs and cooking fork, for only 50 cents and a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice.
Now, to get both tent and stove, the whole Sergeant Preston camping outfit, send 2 box tops from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice and $1.50.
Send to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
With your order, you'll get a little booklet that tells you how to get the most fun out of your camping outfit with tips for safe camping and cooking.
What's more, if you aren't completely satisfied with your prospector's tent and camp stove, you get your money back.
Remember, grocers now have special new packages of swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice with full offer details, plus order blank right on the package.
For the prospector's tent, send 1 box top and $1.
For the camp stove, send 1 box top and 50 cents.
For both tent and stove, send 2 box tops and $1.50.
But hurry, there's no time to lose. The supply of these Sergeant Preston camping outfits is limited.
Send right away, tonight, to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now to continue. Though the crooks had made a clean getaway, Sergeant Preston was determined to continue the search for them. He and the constable, with King, rode out the cliff trail, stopping at the few cabins along the way to make inquiries. Finally, they halted at the Saybrook place.
Oh, buggy! Oh, boy!
Oh, honey! Oh, easy!
Well, ask the Saybrooks if they heard anyone pass here after midnight. Come along, King.
Thank you.
Hello, Sergeant. Hi, Constable.
Hello. How are you, Jack?
Come on in. We've just finished breakfast, but you're in time for some coffee.
Well, thanks, Jack.
Good morning. I didn't expect to see a couple of Mounties coming here so early.
Good morning.
Morning.
Is there some, reason why you came here, Sergeant?
Nothing to do with you, Jack. There was a robbery in town last night. Crooks are thought to have come out this trail. You folks notice anyone passing here after midnight?
I didn't, Sergeant. I was sleeping.
So was I.
I see.
Gosh, I'm sorry we can't help you. Who was robbed?
The mining office. $5,000.
Oh, gosh.
Please, Mom, let me go out to my tent. I won't sneak out at night anymore. Oh, hello, Sergeant.
Hello, Johnny.
Oh, how are you, King?
Say hello to the constable, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Constable.
Oh, hi, Johnny. I reckon when you saw King, you didn't notice me.
Yeah, that's right. Mom, will you please
Johnny,
let me go
don't pester your mother.
Oh, gee.
What are you so down about, Johnny?
I'll tell you, Sergeant. Johnny is being punished for sneaking out during the night to sleep in a tent he made from an old blanket.
Oh?
I found his clothes just soaked this morning.
But I didn't know it was going to rain, Mom.
That isn't the point, young man. The idea of sneaking out without telling us, to sleep in that makeshift tent, why, anything might have happened.
Weren't you frightened to sleep out there alone, Johnny?
Well, not at first, Sergeant, but after the rain woke me up and I was about to come inside, I got scared.
Oh? What frightened you then?
Oh, nothing.
Johnny, answer the sergeant.
Well, I got scared when I heard the voices. I'm sure they were ghosts of outlaws or something like that.
Now, Johnny, no tall tales.
Honest, Dad, I did hear them.
Johnny, you'd better go back in the other room while we talk to the sergeant and the constable.
Oh, just a minute, Betsy, if you don't mind.
Of course, Sergeant.
Johnny, you say you heard voices?
Uh-huh. I heard horses stopping. It was in the pine grove, but it was too dark for me to see.
Go on, Johnny.
Well, I heard one of them say something about they were safe enough in the rain and that nobody'd be able to trail them.
I think her, Johnny. What else did you hear?
Another one said the ghost will keep folks away. Then the first one said he was getting wet and didn't feel much like a ghost just then. I could tell there were others there, too. Then they rode away, and I ran into the cabin. If they were outlaw ghosts, I didn't want them to come back and see me.
Johnny, I've heard you tell many things you've imagined, but well, that story really takes a cake. You'd better
wait a minute, Jack. I don't think the boy did imagine it.
Oh, I'm sure I didn't, Sergeant. I heard him as plain as anything.
Constable, I think we've got something.
You think Johnny heard the crooks were hunting?
Yes, I do.
But all that ghost talk,
I've an idea about that. Johnny, I think you've put us on the right track. If it proves out that you have, I'll bring you a present. Whatever you want most.
Oh, golly. I want a real tent.
Johnny.
A small one. And a camp stove. That's what.
If we catch these crooks, I'll see that you get them. Come on, Constable. We have a job ahead of us. Let's go, King.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Goodbye, Sergeant. Goodbye, Constable.
Hastily leaving the Saybrook cabin, the sergeant and the constable mounted and headed along the cliff trail away from town.
You seem to have a definite place in mind, Sergeant. Where are we going?
To investigate the ghost cabin.
But I already investigated that.
I'm sure Johnny heard the crooks talking last night. And what he heard them say about the ghost gave me the idea that in some way this ghost people have seen at the cabin window was for the purpose of keeping folks away from there.
Yes, that's possible.
Evidently, that cabin covers a hideout. Perhaps there's a trap door in the floor.
I didn't think of anything like that. It is possible.
We'll see. Anyway, I'm convinced we're on the right track. All we have to do is discover the secret of their hiding place. Come on, Blackie.
Get it. Get it.
The two Mounties rode the distance to the ghost cabin in record time. They stopped just around a bend and approached the place on foot.
Quiet, King. Look, Constable. Faint outlines of hoofprints going to the cabin. Rain must have stopped before they were entirely washed out.
That doesn't make sense. None of the marks go away from here.
I know. I see the door is hanging on one hinge.
It's evident nobody's hiding in there.
Yeah, we'll soon find out. Let's go inside. Let's look around a minute.
The two Mounties stood a moment looking the place over. A soiled Navajo Indian rug hung from ceiling to floor on the back wall, which was against the low cliff. A rusty stove, a couple of rickety chairs, and an old table completed the furnishings.
I admit the place does look unused. Let's pull back this floor covering and see what's under here.
All right. That's a plank floor. There's no trap door there.
Wait a minute. Look at these marks.
The floor's been scuffed by something.
I'd say it was scuffed by horseshoes, Constable.
Say, it does look that way, but who'd bring a horse?
The marks go from the door to that back wall. We'll replace the matting. You know, this begins to make sense. Have your gun ready.
All right, Sergeant.
Now pull aside this wall rug. Look, crude door built into the back wall.
But the wall is built against a cliff.
That door is there for a purpose. I'll try it. It opens into a tunnel, probably into an old mine. Follow me. Come along, King.
The tunnel led into a fairly large cave, in the ceiling of which there was an air vent. Crude chairs and a table, along with padded sacking for bedding, made it an ideal hideout for Sid and his men. The four horses were stabled off to one side. Sid and Kel sat at the table in the cave, counting out the mine payroll into four piles. The other two men were resting on the bedding.
We'll split this four ways, Kel. This is our best haul we've made yet.
Yeah. I reckon the law is running around in circles trying to find out who we are and where we went.
With the setup we have here, we'll be able to operate all summer. That's why I'm always telling you fellas to be sure not to disturb the dust or anything in the shack.
It was a lucky day for us when you got wise to this place.
Yeah. I came by, looked in the window, and saw that old fella Stebbins coming out from behind the wall rug.
You got his gold, didn't you?
Sure. I came in masked, and the old coot was so scared he dropped dead with a heart attack. I went back in here and found his gold, and then I left. After he was found and buried, I realized what a fine hideout this would make.
Look, what gave you the idea for that ghost business?
Oh, that just happened. One night I heard hoofbeats just as I went into the cabin from the cave. Well, I was carrying a candle, see? I put out the candle, went to the window, and looked out. The fella passing by suddenly whipped his horse and went off flying. Well, the next day I heard the story he told about seeing a ghost.
I understand some of the men came out the next day to look around.
Yeah, yeah, but finding the shack just as Stebbins left it, dusty and all, they decided a man had been imagining things. Yeah, now the money's all divided.
Well, I'll take my share.
Wait, all of you.
Hey, a couple of Mounties.
Hold it.
No!
All right, now you drop your gun.
No, Jake, Frank, gun him!
The two Mounties and King went into action.
Oh, they were too fast for us.
Get this dog away from me!
You're through. Done, King. Watch him, fella.
I'll pick up
their
guns.
Yes, and keep them covered. I'll take the cash. Mining company's sack still on the table.
King sure is well trained. He jumped one of them just as we gunned the other two.
King's learned to jump a man when he goes for a gun. There, I have all the cash. Nice hideout you have here. Practically perfect.
How'd you find out?
Sometimes even a ghost talks too much. Oh, Constable, I recognize this one. He's Sid Krebs, an ex-convict.
Yeah, and you're Sergeant Preston. Must have been that dog.
No, for once even King couldn't trail you, Krebs. We have a young camper who was scared out by ghosts to thank for your capture.
I don't get it.
Well, that doesn't matter. We arrest all of you in the name of the Crown for robbery. Let's get them to jail, Constable.
That night, Sergeant Preston and King stopped in front of the Saybrook cabin.
Whoa, Dougie. Whoa, boy. Wait till I unload these gifts for Johnny, King, then we'll go in. All right, fella. Come on.
Well, Sergeant Preston and King, come in.
Thanks, Jack. Is Johnny going to bed, Jack?
Why, he's getting ready for bed right now. Johnny, Betsy, we have company.
Sergeant, did you catch the crooks?
Yes, Betsy, we did.
Oh, golly, Sergeant. Were they real crooks, like you said?
Very real, Johnny. There aren't such things as ghosts.
But they said
I know, son. They pretended there was a ghost at old Stebbins' cabin to keep folks from going there. They had a very clever hideout in the cave, which was entered through the cabin.
Well, I'll be doggone.
What's wrapped in those packages, Sergeant?
Well, why don't you open them and see, Johnny?
Oh, gosh. Oh, Dad, look. A real tent. Just big enough for a boy like me. Oh, golly.
Open the other package.
All right, Sergeant. A camp stove.
Hey.
Yes, and that's yours, too. It's a small, compact stove on which you can cook lots of things, Johnny. And what's more, it's safe for a youngster to use.
You know, I could use that myself in the kitchen.
Oh, no, Mom. This is my camping stove.
That's right, Johnny. Now you have a camp stove and a real tent all your own. You could stay in that tent no matter how hard it rains.
Sergeant, it's mighty fine of you to bring those to the boy. They mean a lot to him. Why, any boy'd like to own a tent and camp stove like that.
Johnny earned them, Jack. If he hadn't been a determined young camper, we might not have caught those crooks. And now that they're in jail, the cash returned to the mining company, and Johnny has what he wanted most, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Remember, fellas and girls, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are the ones shot from guns.
Yes, they're exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them extra crisp and tender.
What a luscious, refreshing breakfast treat these spring mornings with cool milk or cream and fresh strawberries or sliced bananas.
Enjoy a bowl of crisp, fresh Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice tomorrow.
And listen, special new packages are at grocers now, offering the Sergeant Preston camping outfit.
Be sure to send right away for your prospector's tent, camp stove, or both.
You can get the wonderful new waterproof prospector's tent of sturdy plastic and ready to set up outdoors or indoors for only $1 and a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
You can get the complete 4-piece all-metal camp stove to cook hot dogs, bake potatoes, fry eggs, a genuine camp stove, for only 50 cents on a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice.
Or you can get both tent and stove for 2 box tops and only $1.50.
Send to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
Don't wait and miss out.
Send now, tonight, to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, a telegrapher in Selkirk, known as Pop, was shot yesterday. The telegraph office and the express office are combined. Motive was robbery. A payroll of $20,000.
Do you suspect anyone, sir?
Yes, the young express agent is missing. I want you to find him and bring him in for questioning. His name is Ned Deming.
I know Ned Deming. I'll do my best, sir.
Sergeant Preston doesn't realize that in going after Deming, he's playing into the hands of a ruthless and clever killer. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday. On Thursday, by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Pacoten has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pacoten. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pacoten, and only Pacoten, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pacoten alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pacoten at your grocer's tomorrow. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.